Little children, keep yourselves from idols. 1 John 5:21. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So here we have graven images speaking about, and also keeping ourselves from idols. Well, today we're in 1 Samuel chapter 5, and we're going to be reading through there. This is in our continuation here of 1 Samuel that I've been taking the daily inspirations out of. And if you remember, the Philistines took the Ark of God in a battle, and they also killed 43,000, or was it 34,000 Israelites. And also Eli the priest died, his two sons died, his daughter-in-law died, and of course, like I said, the Ark of God was taken. And it says here in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, and the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. And Ebenezer there, that word means that the Lord is my helper. And so they took that Ark of God from there to Ashdod. Ashdod is one of their capital cities, one of the Philistines' capital cities. They had five. And it says, when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Dagon was their god, one of their gods anyway. And he was an image, a sculpture or a carven, graven image or some sort of a statue. That's the word I was looking for, statue. And he was there in his house, which was, I'm sure, like a temple or a place to worship. Might have been small, might have been large, I don't know. But there was a place where people could come and worship this god Dagon. Of course, he was just the work of man's hand. He had no power. But the devil has power, and the devil uses things like that. It says in verse 3 that when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord, and they took Dagon and set him in his place again. So that night, Dagon falls over. The night that the ark of God was placed in the same building as Dagon. Verse 4, and when they arose early on the next morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. So here the next morning they come in, and they see Dagon fallen to the ground, but not only just fallen this time where they could put him back up, but his head and the palms of his hands were cut off, only leaving a stump. And so then it says that neither the priests of Dagon nor any that came or that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. So it seems like they gave up their god Dagon because of what happened there. It says, but the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emrods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. Emrods it's a disease. We would know it more as hemorrhoids, hemorrhoidal ulcers, or piles, is what when I looked up that word, that's what it was saying. And those are very painful things that people get, and this wasn't just a few people, but this was the men of Ashdod got this disease. And it says, and when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our god. They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them, these counselors or these wise men, these rulers, and said, what shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel? And they answered, let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. Gath was another one of their capital cities. And so they thought, well, maybe it's just because it's in Ashdod that these things are happening. Let's take it to Gath. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of that city, both small and great, and they had emrods in their secret parts. So it didn't help taking it to Gath. It only spread the disease, this sore problem that they had. And then it goes on and says, therefore they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. Ekron is another one of their capital cities. And it came to pass, as the Ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the Ark of God of Israel to us to slay us and our people. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the Ark of the God of Israel and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with the emrods, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. So here the Israelites were fighting against the Philistines. And it doesn't say how many Philistines died in the battle, but it does say that 34,000 Israelites died. And it says that they took the Ark of God. Now the Ark of God is in their capital cities, and the power of God is fighting there, destroying people with disease, and many of them, it sounds like, died, and the rest of the men that didn't die were smitten with this disease of emrods. And so they cry out and say, let's return it to the Israelites. Let's take this Ark of God back to the Israelites because it's destroying us. So the power of God is a such a great thing to see how God can move in a situation like that. The power of the devil has no comparison in that. As this Dagon was one of their gods, and I'm sure there was signs and wonders happening because of him there in those places, and that was the power of the devil. But the power of the devil cannot stand with the power of God. And we see here that these idols, like Dagon, they're not, they don't have power in themselves. And we also have idols in our days. I was thinking of a few, like the idols of sports. You think of all these sports heroes that are getting millions of dollars a year for their sports, and people have their posters up on their walls, and they can't wait to hear about what their favorite football player did, or their favorite basketball player, and they're laying down in front of the television and watching these, or going to the Coliseums or wherever they're playing their games. And I tell you, I used to do that back in the 70s. I watched the Seattle Seahawks and would go to their games, and I just saw the vanity of sports and how it was just became an idol to me. I listened to the news and all these things. Sports can be an idol. Also, TV can be an idol, and cars can be an idol. People out there shining up their car every week, making sure it's beautiful. And you know, buggies, horses can be idols. These fancy horses that they spend thousands of dollars for, where their heads real high and they're prancing when they're walking down trotting down the road or whatever, they can be an idol, and they are idols to people. Buggies can be idols. These fancy buggies with lights underneath and all these things, these can be idols. A farm can be an idol. Just the work of man's hands, what man can build and produce, all these things can be idols. Pleasure can be idols. The idol of pleasure, just wanting sports or wanting the next volleyball game or the next, just wanting pleasure, whether it's a ice hockey or whatever it may be. These things can be idols in our lives. And as we read there in 1 John, it says, keep yourselves from idols. God doesn't want us to have any idols in our lives. He wants him to be everything to us. When we wake up, we should be thinking about the Lord. When we're going throughout our day, not thinking about the sports star, but thinking about the Lord and what He has for us. Keep ourselves from idols. Well, we see that these idols couldn't protect them from the power of God, and it won't protect us either. These idols, all these things that man can dream up, it'll only draw ourselves away from the living God. So my encouragement to us today is for us to be free from idols, free from a love of other things, and that's my encouragement for us today. So God bless you. Thanks for listening, and Lord willing, we'll meet again tomorrow.